district to, I would have to come in and talk about services, what services are available for black women, to do AIDS prevention and reproductive hazards. At the National AIDS Network, which is an organization that was started mainly with gay white men's focus in mind, it's been difficult. It's been difficult to try to do a black women or women of color, program there. But I started to look around to find out, not from within the agency, but from without the agency, outside of the agency, what was the situation? I went to Harlem Hospital and I wanted to see the women who were getting AIDS and I wanted to see the children. And it was devastating, and it was devastating. There was no way that I could be professional about, what I was seeing. I was very upset about it. All of the women to me looked like me and all of the children looked like my own children. And, it gave me a lot of determination and drive to see a women's program come out from a national organization that had the money to do it. What I found in looking and trying to find out what's going on with my sister in this episode is that most of the women that get AIDS get directly or indirectly from drug abuse. Either they are drug abusers themselves or they're getting it from their sexual partners. So it's very difficult to separate drug abuse from AIDS. I heard a guy tell me recently that in the black community, drugs equals AIDS. And that's not necessarily so for gay men, for black gay men, but it is so for black women. You cannot separate the two things. You cannot take a woman who is using IV drugs and tell her to stop doing that. It's going to give you AIDS. We have to look at all of the issues. And that's why women need separate programs, they need separate services that look at all of the issues. How women recover from drug abuse. How women deal with their reproductive issues. How women deal with their children. What happens to a woman who is sick with AIDS and has children? What do we do with our kids when she has to go to the hospital? We give them to the state? I mean, what is there to take care of these women? And there's very little. There's very little organized. There's very little money coming from places like the CDC. Local organizations that do have money to do certain things, they're not putting the money into the women's issues, the family issues. Prevention is another difficult thing to do because a lot of the people who are doing AIDS prevention for women are not comfortable with their own sexuality and want to talk about sexuality to other women. And I hear as I come about it so clearly, they're not comfortable talking about their own. I hear so many of us talk about those people need to do it and how they can get it in. But what about ourselves? And it's something to really look at. Are you comfortable with your own sexuality? Are you comfortable talking about somebody using a dental dam and a condom? Are you comfortable with that yourself? Are you the person who should be talking about these things? And I think that a lot of times, like someone else was saying, that we do more damage than good. Talking about things that we're not totally comfortable about. And that's what I'm seeing in a lot of the women's programs. And people are saying, it's the only thing to do now. You better do a woman's program. They're doing these programs and they're not helping us. They're telling them, giving them a pamphlet that says, tell him to put on a condom. Since when have we been negotiating sex with men? When did that start happening? And now, not only do you have to be responsible for your end of it, and you are responsible for him too. You are going to make him put on a condom. You're going to bring home this box of dental dam soap. And this is how you use it, honey. This is not the spot for me. I see all these programs coming up. And you're saying, we have the solution. We know what to do. I do believe that the self-help groups are the only way that we can get it to work. Getting women to see it in their own communities, in their own language, can identify the problem as their own. Once we do that for ourselves, once we can identify the problem for ourselves, how many of us here tell men to use condoms when we sleep with them? we're going to get in these groups. You have to tell him that. And no, I don't have that problem. My husband is a good man. But you do, he has to, you know, your husband may not be so good. All those things, and I think that this is the kind of place for us to talk about that. So we have to bring it home. How do you bring this information home into your own life? And like I said, I really do believe that it's through the self-help group, it's through a small group where women are talking about what's happening for them. We cannot separate AIDS from so many of the other issues. It's true. How do you talk to a woman about AIDS when she still cannot figure out how she's going to buy food tonight? You want to talk about AIDS. You want to talk about AIDS and not talk to her about where she's going to live. That's not the answer. That's not going to work. You're going to spin your wheels and see the numbers continue to climb. And it's harder to look at the woman as a whole and deal with all her other issues first, but that's just where it's at. I went to Alabama and I started talking to these folks in Alabama about rural outreach. You see that I have a dirt floor? I don't know what I'm feeding my kids tonight. I said, well, you know, that's true. They don't need it. That's not what's going to work in our community, and we know that. We talk about it in my room, they can always talk about this compassion and respond. Are we compassionate and individual? You know, how much are we really committed to this? You know, we have so many questions to ask ourselves before we go out to do this work. And I'm real serious about it. I know that it cannot be done by us showing it out there. I think we have to do it inside. We have to start the work at home.
Well, I think all of our panelists have basically said the same thing. It starts at home. It starts with us. We can have organization after organization, goal after goal, have all the best intentions in the world, but if your heart dedicated, and if you are not confirmed in your belief as to what you can do for your system, all the organization in the world, all the money that the CDC can put out there in the world is just going to be floating around. It's just going to be wheel spinning. So this is a great forum. I believe that we can actually get something done. Here, go back to the workshops, which are next on the agenda. I don't know if we're going to have a break. Alice,
Sheena just mentioned something I think that's very crucial. This is from the business perspective of the issue of AIDS, and that's about the money. Now, of all the dollars that have been put out, there's been some 458 million point whatever, 6.1% of it is going to the black community. But one of the things that we must be careful of, which we are not, and that there still lingers, what we used to call poverty pimps. They are now AIDS pimps. They are getting money. They have designed so-called programs. And they are supposed to be delivering. And they are not. And I know because I've been victimized, I mean, very recently, okay? But I'm saying to you that is another task that must be undertaken. And if black women don't do it, it ain't getting done. Don't let your money go out there, and it is your money because most of it is tax money. Go out there. You are not getting served. Other members of your community are not getting served. Because the bottom line is that you then become the person most responsible for not getting AIDS education into your community and preventing the spread of the disease that's killing you because you allow the money to come into the community and watch them waste it. More than that, you join them. And that's the way the story's going to be. So that's another thing that we must be careful about.
Thank you all so much. I think for me this is a real affirmation when I read things and the names, you know, of course, names, you know, comes across, it tends to forget that these are real people and that they're out here like we are. And I think it just demonstrated today for everybody how difficult it is for you to be where you are. And I thank you for taking the time to come and to be with us and to be real with us. And I hope that we can cover you back as you go back to where you are. I want to say a word about the afternoon session because this is the real work session. It's the longest one that we're going to have. And what we want to do in this afternoon session is to try to bring together some priorities that you would like us to work on. Based on what you've heard today, what you're saying, knowing, what you feel in your heart and in your gut, what are the things that we can agree on, that we can do together? But more importantly, I think we've heard Sheila, we've heard Andrew, we've heard other people say, what is it that you are willing to do? The Black Women, the National Black Women's Health Project can do with you. And we're willing to do a part of whatever comes out of it. But our part is going to depend on your part. So when we come together, sometimes we start brainstorming and we get all these ideas and we get real excited about all the potential. And then everybody goes back to reality on Wednesday and, you know, it kind of falls through. So what we need you to do and think about in terms of the ideas that you put out this afternoon is, what am I willing to set aside some time for and commit to and to open up my life a little bit more to be part of? And that part of it is what we can take and then begin to move forward with for the rest of the agenda. So this afternoon session is really crucial. We want everybody to participate. Everybody in the small groups to participate. Those tables need to come down. If they're getting in the way, take them down. Okay? Or call for the hotel. They'll take them down. Meet over in the corner. Do something. But really participate. It is almost 3 o'clock. So can we have your session start by 3:15? And you can go in your small group session until 5:15. The sessions, or as long as you want to, really. But at 5:15, the facilitators have to leave because we have to meet. And no,
you don't have to be available
till 5:45 or 6 o'clock, so that you can really go as long as you like to. In your small group, we will not come back into this plenary group until tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. So thank you all very much for today. Please let me know.